Savior was.
Yep, sounds good. Sounded pretty good.
Sabbath, everybody. We're kind of pulling together here. We got some folks in the room. I'm just gonna adjust the camera and the screen here for a moment.
I think he's adjusting the one where they see us.
Yes, I was fixing it so they can see everybody. Before it was just me. All right. Let's do one more song. Sound?
Yeah, I mean, you're sounding really good when you're talking, and then as the music goes, it starts to crackle. That's perfect.
Now,
still sounds good. Yep. It seems like it kicked in after you've been going with for a little bit. Now, connection issue or something else?
Okay, can you guys hear the Zoom folks okay? It's great. Okay. But when these folks talk, can you hear it from my laptop?
Here, we're talking to test, seeing if you guys can hear us or not.
You can't hear Steve?
It would be so much easier if we were there in person, but not everybody can be there.
Okay. All right. We'll try to do it that way. Okay. Well, let's begin. And we'll start with prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for a new Sabbath, a new day, the end of a week, and the opportunity to be in your house.
Lord, we thank you that we have the freedom to worship and that we can take advantage of it. And we pray that you look after our community and our group here as we worship you, those who are in need, all the different situations that you're aware of. We ask you to bless in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I hear that I'm cracking. Okay.
So, happy Sabbath. Welcome everybody to Sabbath School. Steve, if you wouldn't mind giving me the control here, to, or at least to be able to share my screen.
You have it?
Okay.
If the crackling is coming, what do you have for a microphone? Do you have a microphone on your body?
I do.
I'm wondering if it's just rubbing on your neck and that's what's causing the crackle.
Yeah, let me. How about now?
We still hear you clearly. And I'm guessing that's what the crackle was from.
Okay. Welcome, Dana. Come on in. We're just getting started. Ron asked me to lead Sabbath School this morning, and so what we've been looking at over the course of several weeks, and I know we spent a lot of time on Sabbath, which is one of the Adventist fundamental beliefs, right? In fact, it's in our name, right? Seventh-day Adventist. And so I think as Adventists, we can never get too much of the Sabbath. But anyway, there's some other fundamental beliefs that we have. And so I thought to begin, I would give you kind of a tour of what those are. And I believe I have those on my screen. So let me go to this page. Okay. And now, why doesn't it appear here? Because I'm not sharing. Hang on. Okay. Okay, there we go. So if you go to the website of the Seventh-day Adventist Church, we have a list of fundamental beliefs. And each time I've been looking at one, like last week we talked, does anybody remember what we were talking about last week or what was the fundamental belief that we read scriptures on and discussed? Starts with the letter S. That's a good one. In fact, that's what we're looking at today, Mike. But it's two words, spiritual gifts. All right, spiritual gifts. And we talked about how God compares the church to the body and that each part of the body has a different function and how we're joined together to grow God's kingdom through the Holy Spirit. And so as I was looking at that one, looking at this week, I thought, well, okay, let's see, you know, where it all starts. So if you look here, it's pretty interesting because we'll hear the term, the 28 fundamental beliefs. Welcome, Brian. And welcome, Anna. So they're divided into, I believe, six groups. Okay, so it's no longer a list of 27 or 28. And so there's a series of groups that have to do with God, because everything starts with God. In the beginning, God, right? And what was God's crowning act of creation? It was humanity. So that's the next thing in terms of our beliefs as Seventh-day Adventists, the teachings, the understanding in the Bible of human beings, who we are and what happened to us, our relationship. We're going to look today at the experience of salvation, because as I was looking at this list of beliefs, you know, Ron just kind of gave me free realm. He said, just choose whichever one you want. So last week I was really thinking about spiritual gifts. This week I've been thinking about the experience of salvation. And then once we've had the experience of salvation,
then we learn about the church and how God created humanity to bring salvation to the world. Okay? Remember how the Jews, that was the purpose of the calling out of Abraham, right? Through thy seed, many nations, all the nations of the world shall be blessed. And so even today, that's still how we are, even here on Orcas Island, right? The people we work with, the people we live by, right? That God can use us to bless them. Not necessarily always preaching a doctrine or even talking about God. I heard a fantastic sermon at the camp meeting of Oregon Conference a week or two ago. It was all virtual. And there was a speaker who basically was making the point. He said, you know, we can no longer, as Christians, we can no longer look at ourselves as trying to protect from the heresy and from the outside influence and from the attack from outside. He said, no, in our society today, we need to look at ourselves like the Apostle Paul saw himself in Athens, in Acts 17, speaking, ye men of Athens, right? I see that you're very religious. I've observed all your gods. But there's one, right? It's called the unknown God, and he's the one I want to reveal to you. And so this is kind of the society we live in today in an Athens, in a post-Christian world. And so God's chosen you and I, having the experience of salvation, being the church now to, in a myriad of ways, through our spiritual gifts and otherwise, to reach. I love to hear, Roy, when you talk about your neighbor or somebody you meet on the ferry, or I love it when Brian talks about in his work the people he comes across and the experiences that they're having. And all of us have shared ways that God is using us as his church to advance the gospel. And so as we grow into that, then we realize there's a way of living as a Christian. And then this leads to eventually, all of this leads to eventually restoration, where Christ comes again and we're restored to him, right? The image of God is restored in man, in us. And then leading on into eternity. Okay. So this is the big picture of what Seventh-day Adventists believe in. So as we delve down, you know, you go into each one and you'll see that there are different aspects to it. So we're going to look today, and perhaps there's like been an order or something, but the one I want to focus on today was salvation. And so I'd like to read just a quick statement on it. And then there's a number of scriptures so we can read scriptures, share thoughts, and so forth. And then at the end, I have a video and a song I'd like to share to kind of bring it all together. Let's see, make sure I'm on the right page here. Okay, the experience of salvation. Okay, and what I'd like for you to do today during the Sabbath school, as we reflect on this, obviously I want you to look back or think now on your experience of salvation. It may be something that you're understanding right now for the first time. It may be something that we can go back decades and decades and you can point to a moment. There's all kinds of different experiences of salvation. There's no one way to experience Christ in your life. And so I want you to have that in mind as read scriptures. If something comes out that resonates with your experience, speak out. Let's talk about it. Okay, so when we accept God's grace, this is this statement, the experience of salvation. When we accept God's grace and salvation, the Holy Spirit reveals our need for Jesus and recreates us. The Spirit builds our faith, and look at this, I love this, and helps us leave our broken lives behind. What a promise. I mentioned to a few of you who were meeting in the prayer meeting earlier, my neighbor, you know, she's in the middle of moving and it's really hard for her. You know, she's alone, not married, doesn't have a man or a family to kind of rely on and partner up with to deal with that type of a challenge. And, you know, I was thinking what to say to her yesterday. I said, you know, Holly, I said, you're a hard worker. You're running two businesses. You're a wonderful lady. Don't let this challenge define you. Look at what's beyond, the promise that God gives us, that it's always darkest before the dawn. Yes, it's dark right now. And you're walking through a dark period. Absolutely. But God's promise that if you can rely on Him, that you can trust and believe that there's something better beyond for you, you will get there. And she said, I do believe that. So when we accept God's grace, accepting, you know, that's a real struggle. It's been a struggle for a lot of us. You know, particularly sometimes we talk about how we were taught, how we were raised, the structure of the family or the church back in those days. It made it hard for us to realize that all we have to do is accept. You know, there's the story of the gift where you give, you spend a lot of time. I guess I was interested this past Christmas. Terry Pottle, principal here, he told me, yeah, we have a family tradition where we have to create a gift for someone in the family. It's like, wow, man. And he's like telling me this like in October or something. You know, for Christmas, you know, it's like December 15 or something. And I'm like, oh my goodness, look at this. Can it be delivered? Some people buy Christmas gifts all through the year. I admire that. But can you imagine putting that kind of thought into a gift? You know, let's say like this year he built Cameron a beautiful box and a set of tools to be held in that box. Can you imagine if Cameron never opened it? Like he didn't even open the gift? And how his father would feel? And that's kind of like God giving us that gift of salvation, and so many people did. So you and I can help our neighbors and our friends, our students, understand that, hey, all we have to do is accept. Just open it. You take care of the rest. Let's look at some scriptures. And so there's quite a few. We won't be able to do them all. There's one that really jumped out at me, and so I'll point that out at the end, and then we'll close out with a short video and a song. But let's start with Genesis 3:15. And
Andy, one of the things that gets me, you're talking about accepting the gift of salvation and grace. What gets me are some of my fellow believers who believe that everybody else has that grace. So they just said, they believe, but they say, I can't apply it to myself. Or they don't say that, but that's how they come across is, oh, I know Andy Rivera is saved. I know Tim Avady is saved, but I'm not sure if I'm going to make it. It's like, come on, you believe, you've accepted Jesus. What do you mean? How can you have to say that they're in and you, you know, don't know their relationship with God? Maybe not intimately, but you don't know that you're in, then you're in.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, when we've been in the church for a long time, or we've been in the relationship with Christ, we often forget what it's like. What it's like for that person who has no hope, who has no knowledge of this. You know, we walk in it daily.
I'm hoping you guys can see some folks in the screen there. Okay, let's look at and by the way, just to make sure you're still out there, did you guys, were you able to hear Brian?
Yeah, we could hear Brian. The mask makes it a little muffled, but yes, we can hear him.
Okay. All right, so let's go to Genesis 3:15. Does anybody have that? And what you can do, the scriptures are up on the board, so you can maybe, if you want to peruse through, or there's one you know by heart, or you want to share that one, that's fine. But we'll just kind of go along the list and see how far we get. Genesis 3:15. Can someone read that? It could be either be on Zoom, or it could be here in our group here in the school. Okay, so let's talk about that word enmity. Okay, that was the word that jumped out. What is that? What are we talking about here? Enmity there, Sam. Strife. What was that, Roy? Hatred. Okay, enmity. Contention. What else? It's all there, right? For some reason, I'm thinking, right? I remember when I became a Christian, this really struck out when they showed me this verse. I was like, whoa. Because the things that I liked that were Satan's things, now I'm beginning to hate them. You know, and that's what the power of the Holy Spirit does, right? Yes, go ahead, Anna.
I think that that's a big part of God's gift in this verse, because if he did not take that enmity there, he would just love the things of Satan possibly, and you never know that there's something beyond that.
Okay.
Just want to make sure that folks can hear you. Let's see if this thing is.
Yeah, I'm going to mute it here and get it on. Yeah, hold that thought. Let's see.
Yeah, I can mute you there, Andy. No, if you did it. I can mute this other one or try to.
All
right. No, we can't hear anything, unfortunately. I can't unmute either one of them from here either. Yeah, I don't think the person doing the hosting should be the one running the sound. I think it really requires two people.
All right. So, Steve, how about this? Why don't you go back and forth between my cell phone and my computer, and when you hear the feedback, just mute one of them.
All right. And which one are you speaking on right now? All right. We will try to do that. We're not always successful. Sometimes we hit unmute and nothing happens, but I will unmute this. Yeah, I can't control it, unfortunately. Yeah, and we can't hear you at all now.
Sorry. How about now?
Yes, okay. We can. Unfortunately, we cannot control it from here.
Okay. All right. So then could someone read Isaiah 45:22? Someone from Zoom?
Yeah. Isaiah 45:22. To me and be saved. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is no one besides me.
Okay, so turn to me, the ends of the earth, for I am God. What was the last part?
There is no one beside me. I am it. If you don't get on my train, you're not making it.
Can you remember, or let's think about that moment in our lives, or maybe the process that has taken place or is taking place, where we are turning, right? We're turning to God. We're turning away from what, you know, turning away from sin, turning away from a life that is God-focused, God-centric. We're turning away from a me-centric life. You know, isn't that what the word repent is all about? Turning away from, you know, and making a change. Brian, the Greek word, I was reading somewhere in here the Greek word for repent, but I'm not sure if it's like, okay, all right. Well, anyway, you know, can you think, can you share maybe somebody's experience in terms of turning away from the things of the world to God, in terms of our focus, our commitment, dedication of our life, turning away from the things that the world offers to the things that God teaches and offers. Any experiences someone could share on that? Because this is super critical in terms of the experience of salvation, right? We must come to that point where we realize that doing it my way didn't work. I tried it and it didn't work and it got me here, so I'm ready to do something else, Lord. I'm willing to turn. Just tell me where to turn. Okay. Go ahead, Wendy.
During a marriage, I thought saving the marriage was, you know, that's important and God wants us to stay married. And we owned a large restaurant in Canada. And in order to keep the peace, I worked 7 days a week, about 18 hours a day, including Sabbath. And boy, was that a mistake. It's just saving a marriage comes through God. But anyway, it wasn't until I stood up for my faith and I prayed to God and I said, God, show me how I can worship you and make this clear with no doubt. And I always get my answers 2 days later. And 2 days later, my husband said to me, why don't you get your own life? Why don't you go hang out with those church people that you want to hang out with? And he told me to go during an angry argument. And so God is good and he has a sense of humor. And I absolutely adore God.
Amen. Thank you for sharing. Tough choices. Maybe going against everything we've ever thought or were taught or learned.
Or we thought God wanted.
Okay, let's go to another scripture. And that would be Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31, verse 31 to 34. Perhaps there's someone here at OCS. We've got today, what? We've got, John is just walking in with Stephanie, so that's probably bringing our number to 10, maybe 11 people here this morning. And on Zoom, we've got at least 4 or 5 people, 6 people, 7. Hey, Ron's back. Perfect timing, Ron. Here's the chair. I'm just kidding. Ron and Stephanie are here. I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. Welcome, guys. Happy Sabbath, everybody. Okay, we're looking at Jeremiah 31. Maybe someone here in the room has that scripture. 31 to 34. We're talking about the experience of salvation, one of the SDA fundamental beliefs. And so is there someone who could read Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34 for us? Sam already had his turn. Go ahead, Robert. Amen. And the bride
And for those of us here in Zoom land, the church service has frozen for us again. I don't know if Andy can hear us or not. Sometimes he can hear us even though the video freezes. Nope, we lost the connection to Andy. But not the room. So it's not the internet. It's something wrong with the service that Andy's using. Probably cell phone, I think. So let's have our own little Sabbath school while we wait on those guys to come back.
Unless they can hear us, might have to.
I don't think they can. So I'm going to unmute Barbara, and I'm going to unmute Carol. Patricia, you're unmuted. Winnie knows how to unmute herself.
Happy Sabbath to you all.
Happy Sabbath. It's good to see you guys.
Happy Sabbath. I am very happy to see the church family, especially as our Jessica just left. So she's gone for almost a week. Um,
I wonder if he used just the cell phone for volume, and for, you know, then he wouldn't have to switch. Maybe he would be okay with that.
Yeah, we've tried a variety of things, and the only thing that seems to work well is we have two people. One being the sound man and the other one running the meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime we have one person doing it, it's just too much.
What if it was just outdoor church? Bring an umbrella in case, and we could just enjoy everyone separated, whether they wear a mask or not.
They might do that today. I haven't heard what the plan is.
Okay, folks, I'm sorry. Somehow I lost you guys a while back and talking about something very interesting. And then we saw Wendy wanted to speak, and so we want to hear that. So sorry, Wendy, we didn't hear a word.
Oh, no, we were just trying to figure out your sound system.
Hear you.
So Andy, just so you know, we decided to go off and have our own little chat with each other while we were waiting. So
talking
anything related to what you're doing.
Okay. All right, go ahead.
We didn't Wendy, have anything to say. Go ahead and proceed with your meeting.
Wendy, did you want to say something? Because we saw you say, but I don't know if you were talking about being able to hear us or.
Yeah, that's what we were talking about is okay. We didn't know what you were saying or anything.
Okay. Okay, so Roy, I was talking about the end of that scripture, how, why don't you read it again, Roy? Read that scripture you just read.
No one will have to tell his neighbor about me, speaking of God. Nor will he need to help his brother know me. They will all know me from the least to the greatest. Mm.
And so you had said, Roy, that our lives
show who Jesus is, and people around us that we come in contact with know who and what we stand for.
Well, is this also saying that once the dispensation of the Holy Spirit came upon the land, that every man, woman, and child on the planet would know that there's a God in their heart of hearts and their mind of minds? Whether they choose to reject and defy that is up to them personally. Mm. But isn't that saying that everybody will have an inane knowledge that there is a God deep within them, whether they deny it or not?
Amen. Isn't that true? People know. I mean, they talk about being when you're in a foxhole, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody, you know, atheists becoming believers. Any other comments? I really like what you pointed out there, Roy, because basically what it's saying is that words can really become meaningless. Mike.
One of my favorite quotes, and it's been attributed to William Miller, to Mother Teresa, and it doesn't matter who the author is, but it says that we should minister every day, and if necessary, use words. that's kind of God's plan, you know, that we don't all have to be Bible beaters and pastors and a TV evangelist. We can show God through our actions, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's kind of interesting on the island, you know. I mean, I've always liked living in small town America. So that I really like that about the island. But it's particularly so in a place like Orcas Island because it's so small. And, you know, so the scuttlebutt and the reputation that you have, that is so important. And it's really built on what you do, what people see you doing, you know? And so, you know, there's people who on this island, you just mention their name and people know exactly what it is, you know? You're talking about good stuff, good people, you know? So I don't know, any other thoughts on that verse there? Go ahead, John.
In the New Testament, sometimes they use the word testament, for covenant?
Mm-hmm.
And where else in the Bible does it talk about a new covenant? Because my other Christian friends, they say, we don't have to keep the Sabbath because we're under a new covenant. So where in the Bible does it talk about this new covenant?
Mm.
Well, it's in, we just read it, and that's in the Old Testament, right?
Yeah.
They call that the new covenant. And that new covenant is simply referring to rewriting God's law instead of on tables of stone, writing it in our hearts. So is it a new law? No, it's a new covenant. So the covenant or the testament is written in our hearts instead of on tables of stone, is what that text tells us. So then where in the New Testament does it talk about a new covenant? In Hebrews. And in Hebrews, I just looked it up, and Paul is referring back to that text in the Old Testament, and he's quoting it, and three times in Hebrews he says, new covenant, new covenant. Well, that new covenant is the one that was written in Jeremiah.
Mm.
And he quotes it. And then the other places in the New Testament, I just looked them up, where we have the new covenant is in 2 Corinthians, Hebrews 8, Hebrews 9, Hebrews 12. And who's that writer? It's Paul again. And what's he referring to? He's referring to about the new covenant that's 3,000 years old.
Mm.
Written in Jeremiah.
Wow.
So the new covenant as an excuse for not keeping Sabbath isn't very good excuse at all.
Mm.
In fact, it's rotten.
Yes.
You know, I got a friend I keep inviting, and he quotes the scripture, don't judge a man by what new moons or what Sabbaths he keeps. And you know, we go back and forth on that. And I said, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, the fourth one. And there's that new covenant. I need to get those scriptures.
Absolutely. You know, it's interesting you mentioned that, because I was thinking this morning, I was taking a walk before coming here. And I listened to YouTube videos or music or sermons, and there was one of these commercials, you know, that when you're watching something, it just pops in unannounced. And it was about, Messianic Jews in Israel, like this movement of Christians in Israel, Jewish Christians, teaching that there's a growing body of believers in Israel, Israelis, you know. But of course, it's something that, in their culture historically, I mean, you're turning your back on your family, you're betraying the faith and everything if a Jewish person believes in Jesus, Yeshua Mashiach, right? And so when you're talking about the new covenant mentioned in the New Testament, which confirms that which was in the Old Testament, and we look at how as Christians we're really just living as Jews, as Christ showed it, and as the prophets laid it out beforehand. So that's kind of an interesting parallel. Rob, did you want to say something back there? Okay. Yes.
It was Jesus who said to the lady in at the well, salvation is of the Jews. You're not going to find a salvation from the Brazilians or the Russians or the Americans or anybody
Greeks.
Else. You have to go to the Jews.
Mm.
Hebrews, Israelites.
Yeah. And that's what God called them out for.
So why was Jesus an Israeli, an Israelite, a Jew? Why was he a Jew? He didn't have any choice, right?
Yeah, he was born that way.
Yeah, and salvation had to come through that line of people. So mm-hmm. Jesus had to be born in the line of Abraham, in the line of Adam. Of course, we're in the line of Adam too.
But yeah, but it was all prophesied. That's another whole subject that we could delve in, right? That this was all lined up and all prophesied hundreds, even thousand years before Christ.
Yeah, and I maintain that if Jesus were born anything but a Jew and he was still the Savior of the world, that everybody would accept him, except the Jews, because the Jews are so, what would you say, stayed in their ways,
mm.
so stubborn, so exacting, is that a savior could only be Jewish. So Jesus said, just to save the Hebrews, the Israelites, I'll be a Jew. And I'll come through that line.
Wow.
Because suppose he were, say, a Brazilian. Well, Brazil wasn't even invented
yet. Right.
Suppose he were, say, one of those other ancient cultures. An Egyptian or a Babylonian. Well, the Jews wouldn't accept that. No, but the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar, and the
Persians.
Yeah, and all those other cultures, they were able to accept the Jewish Savior, and many of them did. There's three guys from the East with the, you know, carrying the precious gifts. They accepted him.
Absolutely. We watched with Sophia, we watched the story of Ruth last night. My mom's Ruth. I said, we need to watch this movie. It's kind of interesting. The first half of the movie is not from the Bible, but showed the pagan culture that she came from and how they worship God, and then comparing it to the Hebrew faith. Okay, let's we're kind of getting to the end of our time here. So what I'd like to do, I'd like to look at one scripture that kind of jumped out to me. And that is in Mark, okay? Mark 9, 23 and 24. So what we're going to do for that one, I have a couple little clips, video clips. So follow along in your Bible. I'm going to play something. And then we can talk a little bit more, and then we'll go to a song and we'll close up. Mark 9, 23 and 24. Let me find my, my stuff here. When I came into Sabbath school, I was just ready to start, and my power cord went out of the laptop. And so it all went black. And this is old, so it takes like 10 minutes to reboot. Of course, it happened to me last week, too. Now I figured a way to prevent that. Okay. Let's see. It may be faster if I do this through my phone.
Oh my goodness. Well, Andy's cell phone only works well until he did whatever he just did.
Yeah. When I take it off of Zoom, it freezes me. Hang on.
Okay. You're sounding good. Your cell phone only has been working very well.
All right. Let's see. All right, let's read it anyway. Mark 23 and 24. And this is one, maybe I'll read this one. Mark 23, Mark 9, sorry. You know, a few years ago, I was reading in the book of Mark, and I noticed that Jesus, he often said, fear not, you know, fear not. Do not be afraid. And I really like that. So this is the story of the healing of a boy with an evil spirit. I was going to show you a little cartoon clip. It's really nicely done with the scriptures, but we don't need to do that. And so let's look at verse 23. Well, let's take it back to 21. Okay, Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? From childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for him who believes. Everything is possible for him who believes. Just let those words sink in your life and in my life. What challenge are you facing now? Everything is possible. For him who believes. Go ahead, John.
And it says, if thou canst believe, you can believe. This is the ability to believe. He didn't say you're willing to believe or want to believe. He said you can believe. In other words, can you walk? Can you talk? Can you eat? This is an ability.
Mm-hmm.
And evidently, if we think of the other things, if we think of the other things that we can do, how do we learn to do things, to walk, to talk, to eat, to compose, to write, to sing? You practice, right?
Mm.
And in other words, it's not something that comes naturally. So the choice of that word, Jesus said, if you can believe, I think there's probably a 2 or 3 sermons in that one word.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Someone read verse 24, the next verse after that. Who would like to do that? Go ahead, John.
And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. In other words, help me learn it.
Yeah. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Man, that scripture just really summed up what I was, you know, going through, what I was feeling. Because we do believe. God has given us faith to believe. But there's also that, you know, that other man warring, the old man warring against the flesh, warring, you know, against the spirit. And sometimes if we're not feeding the spirit enough, what happens? You know, it's kind of like, you know, the child at night seeing that shadow, and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Need a little light. Clears things right up, you know. And so, let's see. Oh, I got my Google Drive. Okay. Let's see if this will cooperate. All right. Okay. Shoot, am I not? I'd like to just wrap up with a song. A beautiful song I was listening to this morning. I wanted to share it on this, you know, experience of salvation. Let me see if I can get this portal back on Zoom. Yeah.
While you're pulling that up, I would like to look back at verse 19.
Ron, can you take?
He's talking about an unbelieving generation. And so I just wanted to point out the contrast. Down here, he's saying, you know, if you believe. And up in verse 19, he's saying that this is an unbelieving generation. So it's just pointing out the contrast, and that it's really a choice. It's a simple choice, and not all choices are easy,
yeah.
But they're simple. It's do I or don't I? And there's a cost either way.
Thank you. Zoom class.
I think I'm almost at the point where I can share the video. Could you share maybe some thoughts as we wrap up?
I look forward to my future salvation. I look forward to being saved in my future.
Okay. Is that a pregnant statement that needs someone unpacking, or is that a... Oh, so, okay, well, then maybe it was good that I had the whole Zoom muted for half the meeting, huh, Steve?
Probably so.
All right, hold on. Let me just, I think I can do it through this computer. For some reason, my laptop is not getting back on Zoom.
All right. Don't worry about us, Andy. Just do whatever you need for the room.
Well, I'm having trouble with that too. let's see. Okay, we got. Oops. So, all right, so I got my song up. Now I just got to get some sound. Let's try. I don't think we can get sound in here, Ron.
The grace of God has reached for me and pulled me from a raging sea. On this solid ground, the Lord is my salvation. I will not fear when darkness falls. His strength will help me scale these walls. I'll see the dawn of the rising sun. Oh,
Let's pray. Dear Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for your tremendous salvation, the gift of salvation, and the experience that we have, one that even the angels cannot know. What a privilege to be called by you, and we pray in this special hour of Earth's history, Lord, that we can strengthen our bond and our connection to you, and that this story of salvation can go out through our contacts, through our friendships, through our experiences here on the island and beyond, so that people will see our good works and they'll praise their Father which is in heaven. Bless us. Thank you for the Sabbath school, and we pray now as we get ready to go to church, be with Brian as he prepares to preach the word of God and all the many needs and desires of this congregation here. We thank you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so let's take a 10-minute break and then we'll get going with Brian and the sermon. Today.